remaining committee members for inviting me to speak and to participate in this speaking engagement. I'm accompanied by my mother-in-law, Sister Gary. Appreciate her presence as well. Yes. We're thankful to the pulpit minister, Brother John Branch, for giving me a call and giving me the toughest subject on the lectureship. But we're thankful to him for calling and asking me that will I take this subject and speak a few words from this, and I accepted it graciously. My subject has already been stated, perils facing the LGBT movement, taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. And the Bible reads, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Yes. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds, four-feet beasts, creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection. Is that in your Bible? Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Yeah. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lusts one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. From reading from those verses, let me read verse 28 finally. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. From the reading of those scriptures, I like to raise three ideas with this subject. The perils facing the LGBT movement. Number one is in the form of a question. What is God's attitude towards homosexuality? Then number two, that which is against nature. Then finally, such were some of you. Y'all got time? A lesbian, that's an individual who identifies as a woman and who is predominantly sexually and romantically attracted to another woman. Gay, that's an individual who identifies as a man and who is predominantly sexually and romantically attracted to other men. Bisexual, that's an individual who is sexually and romantically attracted to men and women. Then transgender, that's the individual that just have the mindset, I was just born with it. The perils facing the LGBT movement. The world that we're living in, church, we're living in the 21st century that is changing from better to worse. We're living in a world that has no respect for the Bible, no respect for the preacher, no respect for God, no respect for the Creator, no respect for authority. That's the kind of world that we're living in. No wonder Paul admonished the church at Rome in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, society will have us to believe as Christians want to mold our minds to think that the thing that God calls a sin is not a sin anymore. The thing that God calls abnormal is not abnormal, it's normal. That's what society wants to mold our minds and shape our minds. But we got to renew our mind, Paul said. The LGBT group or community, if you will, they have become very, very popular in our community. They have become very popular in our state. They have become very, very popular even in the United States. They have so much political power. They have such political power and clout. It have even reached the Oval Office in the White House. Can I get a witness? As I hasten on here, let me quote something that I read on the internet in regards to our president and our vice president. And it reads, I quote, said President Obama had been under intense pressure to lay out a clear stance on same-sex marriage after Vice President Joe Biden and other top advisors endorsed it. Quoting President Obama, Mr. Obama said that after years of lengthy discussion with friends and family, including his wife and two young daughters, he now personally believes gays and lesbians should have the right to marry, unquote. I disagree with Obama. Even though he's my president and I voted for him, but President Obama doesn't speak for God. He speaks from the White House, amen, but not from the heavenly house. Could I get a witness? You may have been watching the news the last couple of months. We have seen that our morality has been challenged. If you notice in February, they lined up even in Birmingham. I'm pretty sure they even lined up here in Huntsville at the courthouses. Let's get married today. Amen, amen. But it was unnatural. The couple didn't look right. Let's get married today. They lining up at the courthouse asking for license to get married. Same-sex marriage. I read where 47 to 67 counties began issuing marriage license. But thanks be to God that the Alabama Supreme Court, which ordered the probate judge to hold up, put a halt on that. That same-sex marriage. Thank God for the Alabama Supreme Court. But we see, church, we're living in a crazy world. But the Bible view on same-sex marriage or the same-sex gender is male and female. We can read in Genesis 2 and verse number 18 where God made male and female. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man shall be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Genesis 4 and verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And he conceived, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That's God's order. That's God's attitude, amen, about marriage. You see, we must stay with God, even though the highest court of our land conflicts with the Supreme Court of heaven. We got to stay with the book. Amen. Stay in the book. What God's attitude towards homosexuality? Let me read just a few Old Testament passages of scripture. And I'll be through with my first point. In Leviticus chapter 18 and verse number 26. The Bible said, for this cause. No, that's not what I want. I'm looking for Leviticus. I got my note. Let me just turn to Leviticus chapter 18 is what I want. Brother Ross got me nervous up here telling me to hurry up. Leave me alone, Brother Ross. Let me preach my message. Leviticus 18 and verse number 22. He said, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And then over in chapter number 20 and verse number 10, I believe. Verse number 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. We see from reading from these two passages of scripture, we see a laundry of sins here, especially in Leviticus 18. Why would a person want to be selected and lift out homosexuality and say it's a sin, and all the rest of them is not a sin? If you're going to take one, you got to take all of them. If you just can't take a piece of the pie, you got to eat it all. God said all of them are sin. We are those who said that, well, you know, homosexuality, being homosexual, is not a sin. But according to the Bible that I read, God called it a sin a long time ago. And he still called it a sin. Even today. Well, did God change his mind when we get to the New Testament? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 26, he said, for this cause he gave them up unto vile affection. For even them, even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, the error which was meet. We know in the Old Testament, the penalty was death.
Yes.
Even in the New Testament, it's spiritual death. Amen. Could I get a witness?
Amen.
Anytime that we as church members, or those of us who are not in the church, but especially those of us that are in the church, anytime that we sin against God, it tears our character down. We die spiritually. Amen. So God didn't change his mind when we leave the Old Testament and we go into the New Testament, even though the law changed, but the principle did not change. God said, I'm not going to change my mind on that. That's a disgraceful act. Amen. Amen. That's unseemly thing to do. God didn't change his mind. My second point, that which is against nature. You see, when you have a hard-legged man who have the itch for another man, when you have a hard-legged man who wants to make love to another man, God said that's against nature. That's against nature. When you have a woman want to make love to another woman, can I preach this year? Want to make love to another woman, God said that's against nature. That ought to do something to your psyche. Amen. Amen. Could I get a witness? You shouldn't get excited about, I shouldn't get excited about going to bed with another man. This is the way I preach now. I'm a simple preacher. Amen. Y'all looking at me funny. That's against nature. Could I get a witness? Amen. But just in case, if those that have the itch, just in case, if those have that feeling, those that have, I just feel like I want to be with another man. I just feel like I want to be with another woman. Let me tell you what you need to do. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, if you got that thought in your mind, amen. And some of us in the church do, because I have counseled some of them. Ain't no sense in me lying. Ain't no sense in y'all being quiet. It's, we got a problem in the church, and we got to deal with it. We got to deal with it. I know sin is sin, but we have young folks leaning just a little bit to the right. You know, why do I have this urge, Brother Looney? Why do I have this feeling? Well, we need to deal with that feeling. We need to deal with those thoughts. Christ said, Paul says to the church at Corinth, you need to bring all of those thoughts into captivity in the obedience in Christ. See, that's the challenge. You see, if we can bring them to Christ, Christ know how to destroy them. We don't know how to do that. If we can just bring them to him, he can destroy those thoughts and give us some things that we can think on that are pure, that are good, that are honest. Things that's going to help us spiritually, going to keep our mind clear, keep our mind out of the gutter, keep our mind on spiritual things rather than on sinful things. How much time I got, bro? I got about 6 more points here. Amen. 3. Things that are against nature. And there are those in Paul's days. They had this mindset. Ain't no sense in us glorifying God. Let me do my thing. Let's do what we want to do. If I want a man, I can have a man. If I want a woman, I can have. That's the concept they had in Paul's days. I can have a man. They had no intention on glorifying God. If they did, they never would turn the truth into a lie. They never would have glorified things rather than glorifying the Creator. They was glorifying the creature. They were glorifying things. Wasn't giving God the right to dictate what's right and what's wrong, what's normal and what's abnormal. They didn't give God that much authority to do that. But they had their own mind. They had their own opinion. And for that reason, for that mindset, the Bible says in verse number, the Bible said God allowed them to think that way, allowed them to have that mentality. So they had a reprobate mind. And as a result of having that mind, they was unable to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. Perhaps they looked at a man and wanted a man. Looked at a woman and wanted a woman. But God truth said, I made male and I made female.
Yeah.
And to enjoy sexuality, I ordained it to be in marriage between a male and a female. Not a man and a man and a woman and a woman. I don't read nowhere in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, male and female in the third and the fourth person. Amen. As I go to my last point. Such was some of you. As I said earlier, church, we got to deal with this subject. Perhaps we got to even speak on and teach on it more. Amen. You know, I know sin is sin. But I believe that some sin would do more damage than others. It's more devastating than others. Amen. I can lie to my wife maybe one time, well, maybe 3 times since we've been married 33 years and get by with it. But let me commit adultery on her. Amen. She has the option to oust me. I don't believe she'll do that. So my point is, there are some sin is more devastating than other, is my point. Such was some of you. Let me say to the LGBT group or community, I love you, and God love you. Amen. I said, God love you. God teach me to love my enemies.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah. Love my enemies. That's hard to do. But with the Holy Spirit, I can do that.
Amen.
So God loves those that are in the LGBT group or community. Amen. God is not willing that any should perish. But come to repentance. God wants them to come out of that lifestyle and give their life to him and obey the truth. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. He says,
In chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not.
Know ye not.
That the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of mankind with themselves, nor thieves, nor covenant, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor idolaters shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But Paul says, with some of you.
Yes.
Paul said homosexuality was a problem in Corinth before it was in Huntsville.
Yes.
Hey, this ain't no new thing. Right. Hey, we may be just talking about it. Paul said they had that problem back in Corinth.
Yes. Yes.
Y'all just experienced it in Huntsville? They had that years ago.
Yes.
Such
was
some of you.
Right.
But
go ahead.
Now you are what? Such was some of you.
Yes.
But now you are sanctified. You are justified in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How, Paul? By the Spirit of God. I want to say to the LGBT group, of the community, there's hope in the gospel.
Yes.
God has placed the church in the midst of a crazy world as a saving institution.
Yeah.
So I tell them that you can be saved.
Yes.
Amen. But God has placed sanctification in your church. Justification in the church.
Amen.
Forgiveness in the church.
Yeah.
You know, there are those who are saying that they don't need the church.
Uh-huh.
Amen. But if you want to make heaven your home, you need the church.
Yeah.
So I say to the LGBT group of the community, you need the church.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Let us all say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.